Good morning. Would you turn to 2 Kings, chapter 23. 2 Kings, chapter 23. I'd like to begin reading verse 25 of 2 Kings, chapter 23. And this is speaking of Josiah. And like unto him was there no king before him. This is including David and Hezekiah and Jehoshaphat and Ahaz and all these good kings. Like unto him was there no king before him that turned to the Lord with all his heart and with all his soul and with all his might, according to all the law of Moses, neither after him rose there any like him. Notwithstanding, the Lord turned not from the fierceness of his great wrath, wherewith his anger was kindled against Judah, because of all their provocations that Manasseh had provoked him withal. Manasseh was Josiah's grandfather. And the Lord said, I will remove Judah also out of my sight, as I've removed Israel, and will cast off this city, Jerusalem, which I have chosen, and the house of which I've said my name shall be there. Now the rest of the acts of Josiah and all that he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Judah? In his days, Pharaoh Necho, king of Egypt, went up against the king of Assyria to the river Euphrates, and King Josiah went against him. And he, the king of Egypt, slew him, Josiah, at Megiddo when he had seen him, and his servants carried him in a chariot dead from Megiddo, and brought him to Jerusalem and buried him in his own sepulcher. And the people of the land took Jehoahaz, the son of Josiah, and anointed him and made him king in his father's stead. Let's pray. Lord, we come into your presence in the name of thy Son, and we ask in his name that you would be pleased to meet with us, that you would speak, that you would give us what we need. Lord, we pray that we might be found in Christ. We pray that his name might be exalted and glorified, and we'd be privileged to see something of his beauty and his glory and the completeness of the salvation that's in him. We confess our sins. We pray for forgiveness and cleansing for Christ's sake. Now bless us, Lord, for his sake, and be with all your people wherever they meet together. In Christ's name, that name that's above every name, we pray. Amen. Now, Josiah was the greatest of all the kings. That gets my attention. Better than David, better than Hezekiah, better than Joash. He was the greatest of the kings. And that is pointed out in Scripture. But that didn't get Israel off the hook, did it? Actually, he was killed when he was 39 years old. Somebody says that seems like an untimely death. There are no untimely deaths. The Lord took him out at this time and still brought his wrath upon Judah, to where Judah was carried off into Babylon. Now, 2 Chronicles gives us more detail, so would you turn with me to 2 Chronicles chapter 35. Verse 20. After all this, after this Passover was kept, after all this, when Josiah had prepared the temple, He had restored the temple. And remember, the temple is not just some kind of religious... It's Christ. That's the purpose of the temple. It's to reveal Christ and how God can be approached and is approached through the Lord Jesus Christ. The temple had the altar. It had the laver to wash in. You come into God's presence through the blood of Christ. You're washed continually in the blood of Christ. Aren't you thankful for that? The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. You had the candlesticks, Christ our light. You had the altar of incense, Christ our intercessor. You had the table of showbread. The only thing we live off is Christ and Him crucified. You have the ark of the covenant, how God can be approached through Christ and the blood sprinkled on Him. This is what this temple is about. It's to teach us of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, after all this, when Josiah had prepared the temple, Necho, the king of Egypt, came up to fight against Carchemish by Euphrates, and Josiah went out against him. Now, he didn't have any business going out against him, as we're going to read. He shouldn't have done that. He shouldn't have tried to help the king of Assyria, but that's what he did. He went out against him, and this was all according to God's sovereign purpose. Now, let's keep reading. Verse 21. Now, the king of Egypt sends out ambassadors to Josiah. But he, the king of Egypt, sent ambassadors to him, saying, "What have I to do with thee, thou king of Judah? I come not against thee this day, but against the house wherewith I have war. For God commanded me to make haste. Forbear thee from meddling with God, who is with me, that he destroy thee not." Now, how did God communicate to the king of Egypt? I have no idea, but he did. Now, one of the things that I find so exciting about this is that no matter what the event is, God is in control of it. Whatever's happening in any part of the world, God is in absolute control of it. And here we have this heathen king of Egypt that God directed to go destroy these people. And this man says, "Don't meddle with me. God told me to do this. I'm doing what he would have me do." Now, how that took place, I don't know, but it did take place. God is in sovereign control of every event at all times. Now, listen to me real carefully. Listen to this statement. If God is not completely sovereign over everything, he's not sovereign at all. Let me repeat that. If God is not completely sovereign over everything, even the thoughts going through your mind right now, if he's not completely sovereign over everything, he's not sovereign at all. But thank God he is God. He's sovereign over all, and he's directing this king of Egypt to do what he would have him to do. God reigns. Now let's go on reading. Verse 22. "Nevertheless, Josiah would not turn his face from him, but disguised himself." Even after he was given this information that God was directing this, and don't meddle with this, this is none of your business. "Nevertheless, Josiah would not turn his face from him, but disguised himself that he might fight with him, and hearken not unto the words of Necho from the mouth of God." Don't miss that. From the mouth of God. "And he came to fight in the valley of Megiddo." Now, Josiah at this time disobeys the voice of God. It said, "This is the voice of God." Josiah was wrong in doing this. It was sin for him to do this. He could not blame God for his sin. Yet all of this was directed by the sovereign purpose of God. God is completely sovereign over the actions, every action, the free and uncoerced actions of men. Now, Josiah is a man
like me and you. He might have been the greatest man, but he's a man. He's a sinful man. And he says, I'm going to disobey God. I'm going to go ahead and do this. And the fact that he disguised himself lets you know he knew what he was doing was wrong. He knew what he was doing was wrong. Do you know what you're doing was wrong when it's wrong? Sure you do. Sure you do. It's my fault. My sin is my fault. Your sin is your fault. Josiah's sin was his fault, but yet this was all a part of God's providence, because God was going to have him killed so he could perform what he said he was going to do because of Manasseh's sinfulness to Judah. So here Josiah is in complete, freely acting, doing what he shouldn't do, and God was completely sovereign over it. And God was going to have Josiah killed through this action of his that was wrong. And Josiah is the last king, and after this, Nebuchadnezzar is going to take over. You can read about it in the next chapter. This is when Judah is carried into Babylon for 70 years, and God actually moves the last king, Cyrus, to let him go. You can read, as a matter of fact, turn to Isaiah 45. I want you to see this. This is after the 70 years that this was written 200 years before it took place. Isaiah 45, thus saith the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, who would not be born for 200 years, whose right hand I have holden to subdue nations before him. And I will loose the loins of kings to open before him the two-leaved gates, and the gates shall not be shut. I will go before thee and make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of brass and cut in sunder the bars of iron, all these things that would prevent you from conquering, I'm going to take care of. I'll give thee the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places, that thou mayest knowest that I, the Lord, which call thee by thy name, am the God of Israel. For Jacob my servant's sake, and Israel mine elect, I've called thee by thy name, I've surnamed thee, though thou hast not known me. I am the Lord, and there's none else. There's no God beside me. I girded thee, though thou hast not known me. Cyrus didn't know that God was directing every thought and every step he took. But this is who God is. He really is God. That they may know, verse 6, from the rising of the sun and from the west, that there's none beside me. I'm the Lord and there's none else. I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. You know, I love that. I'm so thankful the Lord is the way he is, that he is in absolute control. And here Josiah, he's disobeying God. It was sin on his part. It was wrong on his part. But here he is doing it. Now let's go on reading. Verse 22. The king of Egypt said, don't meddle with me. You're meddling with God if you do that. God has told me to do this. Nevertheless, verse 22, Josiah would not turn his face from him, but disguised himself that he might fight with him, and hearkened not unto the words of Necho from the mouth of God. And he came to fight in the valley of Megiddo. And the archers shot at King Josiah. And the king said to his servants, have me away, for I'm sore wounded. Now he dies the same way Ahab died. You remember how Ahab died? The archer shot at a venture and it came and killed Ahab. Same thing happens with Josiah. God directs that arrow into him to kill him according to his sovereign purpose. And I also like, well, let's go on reading. Verse 23, and the archer shot at King Josiah, and the king said to his servants, have me away, for I'm sore wounded. His servants therefore took him out of that chariot and put him in the second chariot that he had, and they brought him to Jerusalem, and he died and was buried in one of the sepulchres of his fathers. And all Judah and Jerusalem mourned over him. What I love to think about his death, we might look at it as an untimely death. He was such a good king, the best king of all, and yet this happened to him. But that very moment that he died, he woke up in the presence of Christ.
He woke up sinless. He woke up perfectly conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. This was the best day of his life. And if you're a believer, listen to me. The best day of your life is the day of your death. Now, I can't say that if you're not a believer, but if you're a believer, the best thing that'll ever happen to you is when you die and wake up in the very presence of God himself, perfectly conformed to the image of Christ. Now, that's what happened with Josiah. And look at the way people mourned. All of Judah and Jerusalem mourned for Josiah. And Jeremiah, the prophet, lamented for Josiah. And all the singing men and the singing women spake of Josiah in their lamentations to this day, and made them an ordinance in Israel. And behold, they are written in the Lamentations. Now, we don't read of any of the other kings where people mourn like they did for the death of Josiah. Now, I'm not real understanding of this, because as soon as Josiah died, they went back to idolatry. And they went back to all these terrible things that were going to take place that would end up bringing them into Babylonian captivity. This was the last good king. But at any rate, everybody mourned over the death of this king. Now, I don't believe anybody in this room is famous. As a matter of fact, I would say that after our death, within a few generations, our names will not be known by anybody. Maybe if the world's still around, we'll come up in ancestor.com when somebody's trying to figure out their genealogy. But other than that, as far as influence, our names, my name, won't be remembered by anybody. I love what Joe McSherry said. He said, we have about as much influence as somebody putting their thumb in water and pulling it back out. There's a little indention for a time, but it doesn't last very long. What did James say? What is your life? It's even a vapor. It's a vapor that appears for a little while and passes away. Now, I look at people mourning over Josiah, and I've got to think this way, and I hope you'll think this way too. While I'm not interested in a legacy, Lord knows whether I'm telling the truth, but I'm not. I'm not interested in leaving a legacy, because I know that my life is nothing but a vapor, that it's nothing but vanity, that in and of myself, anything that you could say about me, you put a bad mark by it. My preaching, my praying, my everything else, in and of myself, I am nothing but sin. And talking about leaving a legacy, what legacy? Vanity. That's the only legacy any man leaves. I believe that. I'm not interested in a legacy, but I still look at Josiah and look at the way people mourned over his death. And it makes me ask myself and you this question. What effect will your death have upon the people that know you? That's a good question, isn't it? What effect will your death have on the people that know you? Well, it certainly had an effect on the people who knew Josiah. Now, what is brought out about this man that they mourned the way they did? Verse 26. Now, the rest of the acts of Josiah and his goodness, according to that which was written in the law of the Lord, and his deeds, first and last, behold, they are written in the book of the kings of Israel and Judah. Now, what is pointed out about Josiah? His goodness. Now, you and I know that by nature, no man is good. Remember when the rich young ruler came to Christ and said, good master, what good thing shall I do to inherit eternal life? And the Lord said, why callest thou me good? Now, why did the Lord ask that question? Because he knew that that man didn't know who he was. And he was just coming to him as what he would have considered a good man, good master. What good thing can I do to reach the level of your goodness? And that's why the Lord corrected him. He said, why are you calling me good? No man's good. Isn't that so? No man's good. I'm not good. You're not good. He's a good man. No, he's not. No, he's not. Not before God. So what is the Lord talking about when he's talking about Josiah's goodness being remembered? Well, it's the same word that's translated merciful. He was a merciful man. He was a man who showed favor. He was a man who showed kindness. As a matter of fact, in a lot of the different translations, we read of them thinking of the kindness of Josiah. The kindness. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Those are the Lord's words. This is a description of his elect. Blessed are the merciful. Now, do you remember the Good Samaritan? The man in a ditch. The Levites, the priests walk by. Religion can't do anything good for a man, half dead in a ditch. Somebody says, does that mean we're half dead? No, we're plumb dead. Dead in sins. But you can't take a parable and try to, well, see, you're not totally dead. Yeah, you are. Yeah, you are. But that man was left half dead. And the priests and the Levites couldn't do anything for him. Who did? The Good Samaritan. The Lord Jesus Christ. Scripture says he came to him where he was. And that's what I need. I need the Lord to come to me, not where I ought to be, but where I am. He came to him where he was, and you know the story. He put him on his beast. He poured in oil and wine into his wounds. He took him to the inn, and he said, whatever you have to spend, put it on my account. I want this man taken care of. Now, who is it that would appreciate the Good Samaritan? The man who experienced his mercy. Now, that's why Josiah, type of Christ, obviously, is so appreciated. It's why people mourned his death, because he was a merciful man. His kindness and so on. His gentleness. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, kindness. Now, going back to this thing of Josiah dying and all this mourning going on, people being troubled, people lamenting, and it was just general. Why was it? Because of the kindness, because of the goodness, because of the merciful attitude that this man had. Like I said, he was the best of the kings, and there wasn't anyone that could compare to him, including David, the man after God's own heart. Now, he died, great mourning. And I would like us all to ask ourselves this question: when I die, will there be mourning? Like this, like Josiah did. And the reason there was that attitude toward him is because of his merciful attitude, his kindness. Love is kind. Now, verse 27, and his deeds, first and last, behold, they're written in the book of the kings of Israel and Judah. Now, his deeds came out of this new heart that God gave him, this merciful heart, this kind heart. And I think it's interesting, if you look, what were his deeds? What were his deeds that came from this kind heart? Well, first of all, the destruction of all the images and idols and groves. I'm sure some people considered him harsh for doing this, and no respect for people's religion, but man, he destroyed everything. And this is what is given as the example of this good king. Second, the restoration of the temple. Thirdly, the restoration of scriptural worship. And fourth, a Passover like no other Passover. Now, this is what took place during this man's reign, and they mourned at his death. Now, I want to show you a passage to close in Isaiah 57, if you'll turn there. The greatest of all the kings died at 39. Verse 1, Isaiah 57, verse 1. The righteous perisheth, and no man layeth it to heart. And merciful men are taken away, none considering that the righteous is taken away from the evil to come. The Lord directed that arrow to kill him, but what a blessing it was. He didn't have to see the evil that was to come, and the evil that was to come upon Judah when they're going to be carried away into Babylon. And everybody made eunuchs, you know, the richest, the most wealthy, the most educated, being made to use for Babylonian purposes. And they were going to be tormented in so many ways. And Josiah didn't have to see any of this. What a blessing it was when the Lord took him away. But Josiah, we admire him, but we remember he's just like me and you, altogether vanity. That's us. Josiah proved that when he disobeyed the voice of God and disguised himself in order to do whatever it was he wanted to do. He shouldn't have been joining in league with the king of Assyria. There's so many warnings against that. Don't go in league with the king of this nation or that nation. Depend on me. He did it. But what a blessing he was to Israel. May the Lord make me and you Josiahs.